Thank you very much, and good afternoon. If anyone can't hear me throughout the presentation, please put your hand up. The presentation is Innovations in Public Community Health, University Nursing Education in Rwanda for Sustainability and Capacity Development, a Cooperative Global Approach. And the mandatory second slide, no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. First of all, I'm not a button wearer person, but we got this last night at the Quad Council meeting, and it's such a proud button. We're, the Public Health Nursing Section is now celebrating 90 years. We're the oldest and largest section of the American Public Health Association. And I just want to give you a little of a context. I presented at the International Public Health Nursing Conference at the end of August, which was held at the National University of Ireland, Galway. And at the end, there were from 27 countries attendees, university public health nursing educators and practitioners, and there was a consensus model to develop a global health paradigm. The Institute for Community Health Nursing, which is based in Dublin, sponsored this event, but they realized that we have to bring together, and there's a need for a global health nursing paradigm. What I'm talking about and sharing with you today is how we've started this movement in Rwanda. The goal that I want to share with you today is really just twofold, is to gather a network of public health nurses from throughout this country now. Now it's this country's turn. I do have a global health network from Ireland in August, from the City University of London, from public health nurses who work with the Aboriginal culture in the bush country of Australia, nurse educators here in Ireland and Great Britain. What is needed, and it really complements some of what our colleagues, especially from India, have said, is train-the-trainer programs for nurse educators in community health nursing. Presently, which is lacking in Rwanda, presently, let me share with you how my interest in Rwanda came about. I'm on the Teachers College Columbia University Alumni Council, and a year ago February, one of the recent young graduates from TC's International Educational Development Program presented the work that she had done for her master's program the previous two summers, all by herself, developed a women's and literacy program in the Eastern Territories of the Congo. And she was looking for people to go back to evaluate the program. Well, of course, the situation is just too dangerous and dire, and the borders were closed. You know, even this morning we heard on the BBC that there's now fighting again. M23 is shooting at refugees who are now going into Uganda, and they interview some of the refugees. These are broken societies and broken people. So whenever we talk about public health and nursing, especially in fragile societies or developing countries, or countries previously in conflict, we have to, as a public health and nursing paradigm, include trauma healing. And also social empowerment of women. The MAMA project is a women's and literacy project begun in the Eastern Territories. It's now we want to incorporate as part of a public health and nursing paradigm in Rwanda. My journey, people in Washington, D.C. might appreciate this. My journey to halfway around the world was a two-block walk from my apartment, which is at the end of this block in DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C., to the Embassy of Rwanda, which is two blocks away. Actually, just last week, the Embassy of Rwanda moved around the corner to Connecticut Avenue, but it's still two blocks away. It's just a two-block journey. And this was a year ago July, and it so happens that the Minister of Health was in Washington, D.C. then at that time for the International AIDS Conference. So I spoke with Dr. Agnes Binagwahu while she was in Washington, and then she's also adjunct professor here at Harvard as well as Dartmouth. So then she began her journey up the Northeast Corridor, and I went over to Kigali. So when she returned, I met with her for over an hour in her office. Well, first of all, for an orientation, let's get our little arrow that shows up. Rwanda is here. You see Kigali, Rwanda. It's a tiny little country just above Burundi, which is even a tinier geographic country, and they're the two smallest countries in Africa. And Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda are considered East Africa. So we get a little orientation. This is tucked in the sub-Saharan Africa. Whenever you study or work in or consider Rwanda, you have to use the context of the genocide. This was April 1994, and within 3 months, nearly a million people were slaughtered. And at that time, in 1994, the population of Rwanda was about 8 million. It's now about 10 million now. But, and this is, people in the world don't know this, and it's an unsung model. The model of reconciliation in Rwanda is a model for the world. So perpetrators of the violence, rape, and abuse, victims of the violence, rape, and abuse, and there are no more labels, so there are no more Hutu, Tutsis, or Pygmy. All, as a group, are working for community rehabilitation. And it's working. I talked with Jeanette Lancaster last night, and she said that, you know, that's what Desmond Tutu tried to do in South Africa, but it's sort of breaking down there. It's not in Rwanda. It's really a model for the world. But any public health nursing model has to include trauma healing, trauma therapy. This really focuses on women, but why women? And why women should be the focus of any developing country's work. I mean, look at Afghanistan and then the program to try and stop little girls and women for education. The primary focus of any fragile society are women. They're the primary fallout, genocide and war. And rape is a weapon of war, and it's going on today throughout the world. These are pictures of some of the victims of the genocide. These are widows, victims of the genocide. I mean, I think their faces tell the story. Part of the rehabilitation is throughout Rwanda, a community organization, NGO called Avega, Asante, and they focus on women, widows, and victims of the genocide to give them social entrepreneurship skills so they can become financially independent. I think this woman's photo, to me, tells the story of Rwanda, the sadness and bleakness in her expression. These women didn't smile until you asked if you could take their picture, and then you showed them their image, and then they smiled. And when you think about it, they really don't have mirrors, so they really don't know what they look like on a daily basis the way we are vain in Western societies. Again, why focus on the women? We've already said the first one. But women are the gateways to children, families, and communities, so you have to start with the women in a public health nursing model, literacy model, social entrepreneurship. And we heard at the opening sessions, Michael Marn once said that social empowerment of women are what's going to change and the hope of developing societies, and this is what the program in India focuses on, is really the women. In Rwanda, women are the leaders in government. Rwanda has more women in government than any country in the world, 54%. This country has, what, 17 to 19% in the U.S. Congress? So, shows you. I asked this question down the street from me, two blocks, at the Rwandan embassy. I knew the answer I'd get, but I wanted it to document it so I could share with you. And I asked, how do you explain Rwanda's, they're near meeting the UNWHO Millennium Goals, the UN Millennium Goals by 2015. And he said it's leadership and the will to do better and improve. Simply leadership and the will to do better and improve. Again, leadership is what we heard at the opening session on Sunday. This is the website. Well, you'll be able to see it better when you can pick up these PowerPoints. The Rwandan government, Ministry of Health, has really done a beautiful job, an objective assessment of where they are at and where they need to go to fulfill the development goals by 2015, and they're well on the way, and they're one of two developing countries who are about to achieve them. And again, that's leadership and political will to do better. And then this lists the Millennium Development Goals, which you probably all know and you can look up, but you'll notice the third one is promote gender equality. There is now in Rwanda a Ministry of Gender and Family Promotion. And so these are the websites you can see when you get HIV/AIDS, the global part. And developing global partnerships. This is what a global public health nursing paradigm can do, is develop global partnerships. Our partners with other public health nursing educators from throughout the world, but also trauma healing programs, such as a literacy project. There's one trauma healing program called Eye Movement Desensitization Reprocessing, EMDR. And there's a woman actually based in San Francisco who goes to Rwanda frequently. That type of EMDR is used a lot in Rwanda for trauma healing, especially this past April, every April at the anniversary of the genocide. And if you think about it, 19 years is not that long ago for the trauma. Every person and every piece of land, even national parks, were affected by the genocide. Dr. Agnes Binagwaho, who I can see here, our colleague, has met with her and heard her speak. when I was in her office, you know, I said, I also want to do cross-cultural comparisons, and she stopped me there and corrected me, and she was absolutely right. It's cross-political values, because in Rwanda, Rwanda has universal health care coverage, 92% of the population. That's, and I teach health policy online. Politics is merely a value system, an expression of your value system, and policies are the tools to implement your value system. This is a political value in Rwanda, is universal coverage. Rwanda is the greenest country in Africa. They don't allow plastic bags. You don't see any litter. I mean, it's extraordinary. Of course, I always feel guilty when I'm asked, do you want a plastic bag? Well, sometimes I say yes, but I always say, you know, Rwanda doesn't allow this. And again, the greatest percentage of women in government, 54%, extraordinary. But the Minister of Health recognizes this. There's a gap in community health nursing. She says, it's the need. We recognize that. We see this being met 5 years out. Let's keep the dialogue going. There are tens of thousands of community health workers in Rwanda, but they lack any formal training. So that's public health nursing. And let's get in there before a medical model gets in there. Again, 80% of the population live in the rural areas, and that's where 80% of the quote-unquote, Dr. Benningwaho says a burden of disease is in rural areas. Nursing leadership during the genocide, they fled to neighboring countries, mostly Uganda and Kenya and Tanzania. The chief nursing officer in the Ministry of Health was established only in 1995, and the same person, Mary Buwaire, is still in that position. The goal now is to build capacity and sustainability. Now underway, and this is interesting, this is timing, since I met some of my colleagues here last night at the Quad Council. There are U.S. and our colleague at Penn knows this as well. There are now 40 to 70, actually more, it's 102 year in and year out, that's 2 years now they're into it, this program. U.S. nurse educators are over in Rwanda, and they're doing what our colleague from India said. They're training the trainer for nurse educator faculty. Now that's capacity development, so that faculty can in turn educate their students, and that's sustainability. Now, but it's only to staff up hospitals. It's that same effort is still needed in the community. And actually, I met this morning with Anne Sliney, who is the chief nursing officer in this country for the Clinton Health Access Initiative, because these nurses, now underway U.S. nurse educators, are through the Clinton Health Access Initiative that is with the Ministry of Health, HRH, Human Resources for Health. So, this is synchronous, or the forces in the universe are really coming together. And I'm so happy I can share that with you, that I met with Anne Sliney this morning. What we need in public health nurses, we public health nurses who pride to wear our 90th anniversary badge, you know, this is our next evolution as public health nurses, is develop the global model. We already had the standards of care in public health nursing here in this country. Now it's time for the global model. And again, train the trainer approach to community health centers, rural villages and homes. The goal is sustainability and capacity development in public health nursing. Intended outcomes, of course, are increased knowledge, attitude, and skill base in community health centers, and the evaluation would be improved health in rural villages and homes. And Anne Sliney validated this morning, community health centers are essentially run by LPNs. Well, not even LPNs. They have various levels. They have 5 universities in Rwanda. The structure is changing, and now it's be called the University of Rwanda. But there are 5 universities. Only one offers a baccalaureate degree in nursing. The rest are 3 offer diploma programs. The rest offer what's equivalent to a high school equivalent. The last 2 years of high school, they take nursing courses. So it's these graduates who are staffing community health centers. That's where we're needed, to develop a model for faculty, how you train nurses who staff community health centers. But what's missing is to make the home visits, you know, a good old public health nursing. Community nursing, you make the home visits in the rural villages and homes, you know, on dirt roads, no electricity. How do they get access to clean water? And that, those of you who have had development training, it's access to clean water. That's the key to any health of any society. I won't explain these photos because I'll run out of time. The church, Nyaburé, 54,000 people were slaughtered in that church and around that community in 3 months. So that's one of the largest single sites of slaughter. It's not the largest in Rwanda. It's just hard to keep your head around it. at the, remember this slide, because I'll show it at the end. This is down the road from that church. These are all victims of the genocide. Placide, look how beautiful he is. He was 6 years old. Last year he was 24, now he's 25. Garrett, in the middle, was his teacher as a six-year-old, 5 minutes, and mama. Children in Rwanda, you have to go to a genocide memorial as your first day there, even if you're jet lag, an example of healing. There are possible sites for, there are possible models, and it depends on gathering a group of public health nursing educators and going to Rwanda, making an assessment with our nurse educator colleagues there. One is, there are three. One is to develop just community health nursing modules. One is community health nursing education, continuing education programs. And one is to develop a model site to develop a model public health nursing education program and then share it. It go from site to site. I learned today that Agnes Binnenwahu does not like pilot studies, so we have to get around that. Call it something else. Next steps. One, I've done step one. You respect the bureaucracy, especially in Rwanda. You start from the top. I have the buy-in from the Ministry of Health, the buy-in from the government. I have the buy-in from the nurse educators, which is validate need, get a buy-in, open doors to other key stakeholders, which would be the Ministry of Education. Next is why I'm here, and I want to gather from you a small group of public health nurse, a functioning group, public health nursing educators and practitioners from the close across the globe, and again, it's determined strategies, funding and sources. Funding's a big problem, but I'm making contacts with Clinton Health Access Initiative as well as UNESCO is interested. Develop a skeleton to curriculum for train-the-trainer programs, including outcomes and evaluation, as our colleague in Japan had demonstrated for us, as well as our colleagues in India. Electronic communications. We bring that over, explore e-learning. They do have an office now for e-learning. I teach full-time online. UN refugee camps might be a site. A peace center is being developed as a healing community, holistic healing community, again, including trauma healing. This is an example of a peace center. And 215, continuing capacity development, begin evaluation measurements, and once sustainability is achieved, take these programs to other countries. Burundi, the neighborhood little country tucked under Rwanda, is very interested in this type of approach, as well as they have a dire need. These are empowering women, leads to empowerment of children, families, and communities. At least, we heard this on Sunday, it leads to hope. At least the hope, and to me, I think public health nursing paradigm can give this to people. I should remember the two women. This is Mama and Garrett. They came to visit us in Kigali. This is on the porch of the guest house where I stayed. There is hope. Now, this is Placide, and this is Garrett. When I asked them to take their picture, she went inside and put on this T-shirt that I brought over for her. I don't know if you can see it, but it says, "I have a dream," the T-shirt. I got this in Washington, and there's a picture of Barack Obama and Martin Luther King. And I think that's perfect. Florence Mukakabano is the first president of the Rwanda Nurses and Midwives Association. I have her buy-in. She said, "I think we need well-educated," this is the second to last, 2 minutes, I'll be on time. "I think we need well-educated people to supervise the real community nursing and midwifery. So getting this program running would be a stepping stone. I support the idea 100%. Agnes sent this to me by email the day before I got on the plane to present in Ireland. I thought, you know, again, synchronicity, Martha Rogers term. And she said she wants to be a partner in research. I mean, that's wonderful. And this is my contact information. So thank you very much for listening. And I look forward to your participation. And again, this is my contact information, and I do have cards as well. Thank you very much.
So that was a really thoughtful and wonderful diversity of a variety of presentations around this concept. So we now have time for questions and answers. So if you have questions for our speakers, please offer them. Yes.
So I'm living at Bainton Street, and I work at Regent College in Boston, right outside of Boston. And we have a project somewhat similar to what you're proposing, Dr. Fields. And we've been working with you, Penn, and I think there's an incredible opportunity across the globe to collaborate.
Yes.
We have a nurse faculty partnership in Haiti, and we call it an educate the educator model. So rather than train the trainers, we elevated it.
Right.
I'm curious, though, in the Indian program that you proposed, do you have nurse faculty from other institutions from within India working with your colleagues on these strategies that you presented, and both of you, and I would love to talk to all of you about our model for educating the educators, because we focus on nursing education and pedagogy and teaching and instructional methods and design. We also focus on leadership, because we so agree that empowering women is a huge piece in empowering a developing community. So I welcome your thoughts.
Do you want to speak up here? You're okay. Sure.
Actually, all this, the capacity development of the faculty is being done by the nursing faculty only at the nodal centers. So at the national nodal centers, existing faculty, we train them and we hire additional faculty, and we do what we call the training of master trainers. So a 10-day program to train them, and who then train the faculty from the other schools.